And this time, as a group of elders, we decided that over the next little while that we would allow the speakers to choose their own subjects. So I began praying several weeks ago as to what the Lord would have me speak to you about this morning. And the Lord directed my thoughts to the Lord's Supper, something which I don't think that we have taught on here in the assembly for a long time, at least. I don't remember a message on the Lord's Supper since I've been here for 12 and a half years. But at any rate, the Lord directed my thoughts that way. And then in one of our recent elders' meetings, Jerry brought a brochure, a little flyer on worship. And you have a copy of that in the bulletin that you received this morning. Except if you got here a little bit early, you probably don't have one. They arrived a little bit late, and we didn't get them into the bulletins right away. But be sure to pick one up on your way out if you did not receive one. I'm sorry that the type is so small. Some of us are having problems with our vision, and these things are a little harder to read than they could be, but that's the way it is. But this little flyer, when it first came out, I'm not sure when it was done. I think that may have been before my time here as well. We were trying to think together who might have written it. And this past Thursday, as I was talking with Jerry, he says that he thinks that he picked it up. The source of this may be the Cherrydale Bible Chapel down in Cherrydale, Virginia, outside of Washington there. So that may be the source of that. But at any rate, it's very good. We liked it, and we thought that we would put that in the bulletin today to go along with the message that we have this morning for you. And I ask you to turn, first of all, this morning to Luke chapter 22. We want to look, first of all, at the institution by the Lord Jesus himself of this remembrance time. If you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 22, and we'll begin reading at verse 14. We have here the Lord Jesus gathering together with his disciples to partake of the last Passover feast that he was to partake of. Chapter 22, Luke 22 and verse 14. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." The setting here is what is commonly referred to as the Last Supper. The Lord Jesus has partaken of the Passover feast with his disciples. A lamb has undoubtedly been slain and roasted and eaten by the disciples and the Lord himself. We see a cup also. There are two cups mentioned in this passage. The first cup is that which pertains to the Passover feast. The second cup, of course, is the one that the Lord Jesus used to speak of his blood. And so we have the institution of the Lord Jesus of this remembrance time, which he asks his disciples to do. Do this in remembrance of me. Let me ask you this morning, is that a request or is that a command? Do this in remembrance of me. As I thought about that and pondered on it, you know, a request of the Lord Jesus is more than just a request that you and I would make of each other, isn't it? It comes authoritatively from the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do this in remembrance of me. And so I think that every born-again child of God, if we know the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior, it becomes a joy for us, really, to do what the Lord has asked us to do. If we love him, the Lord Jesus said, keep my commandments. So we do this in obedience to what the Lord has said to us. Passing on to the book of Acts, let's just look at Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, you'll remember that the Holy Spirit has come on the disciples. We know that there were about 120 disciples gathered together in that upper room when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them, and they began to speak in languages, and speaking of the wonderful works of God to all of those people who were gathered at the feast time there in Jerusalem. And then in all of the excitement over this event, people are wondering what's going on, thinking that these men are drunk with wine, and Peter stands up to give that wonderful message that he gave, that wonderful sermon that he gives there on the day of Pentecost to that great crowd that was gathered in the city. All those people flocked together to hear this message of the Apostle Peter. What a voice that man must have had. And as we look at the fear that Peter had manifested just a short time before in denying the Lord three times, and now the strength of the Holy Spirit is upon him, and he speaks this marvelous message on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He accuses them in verse 36, for instance, chapter 2 and verse 36, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And he puts the blame directly upon these people who had had a part in the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 37, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we read a little further that there were about 3,000 of those people who showed repentance for their sins and were baptized. And then as we get down to verse 41, those who gladly received his word, that is Peter's word, were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And then verse 42 is really what I want to lay stress to here. Because it shows us a little bit of the practice of the early church, the first church that was born on that day of Pentecost, those believers in the city of Jerusalem. And there we see what they did. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And I think that that is good for us to see that, because these are the things that we want to be involved with as well. First of all, the apostles' doctrine. What was that? Well, these were the men who had been with the Lord Jesus, these apostles, weren't they? And the followers of Jesus there, they had heard him speak, and they pass on the teaching that they had heard from the Lord Jesus to those other disciples as well, to those who had been baptized and received into the fellowship of the believers there in the city of Jerusalem. These believers continued steadfastly in that apostles' doctrine. Today, we don't have the apostles with us. We don't believe in apostolic succession. We have the completed Word of God. Over the ensuing years, from the time of the apostles here, the canon of Scripture was completed by those apostles. We have the New Testament. We have the complete Word of God. We don't need to add to it or take away from it. And so that is what for us would be equivalent of the apostles' doctrine today. They continued in fellowship together. And we see here a little picture of the unity of the body of Christ. Everyone who had received Christ as his Savior was known as a disciple and as a follower of the Lord Jesus. And they fellowshiped together. And we continue with times of fellowship as well among ourselves as believers as well, don't we? It's a very precious thing to know the fellowship of God's people. And then it says that they continued in the breaking of bread. These disciples were doing what the Lord had asked them to do. Do this in remembrance of me. The Lord Jesus had told his disciples, and so they continue on in the breaking of bread and in prayers, time of prayer as well. So we as disciples today try to follow in the same pattern in the teaching of the Word of God, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, or the communion service, the remembrance of the Lord, remembering Him in the breaking of bread and the taking of the cup, which speaks to us of His body and His blood, which is given for us. Breaking of bread and in prayers. Then as we would turn over to Acts chapter 20, just briefly turn over there quickly, and I want to look what happens here in Acts chapter 20. Interesting story that we have here in Acts chapter 20. The Apostle Paul and his fellow workers, a whole group of them, an interesting thing to see that the Apostle Paul never worked alone. He was not a loner. He always had the fellowship of other brethren with him as they traveled, and if you start in verse 4, you see the names of some of those that accompanied the apostles. Sopater of Berea, also Aristarchus, Secundus of the Thessalonians, Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and Tychicus, and Trophimus of Asia. And these men, they were all together with the Apostle Paul and Luke, of course, who wrote the book of the Acts. They were all together in Philippi, in Macedonia, and what today we know as northern Greece. And the Apostle Paul, in verse 6, we sailed away. Probably we're speaking just of Luke, as we have the we there. Luke and the Apostle Paul sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and 5 days joined them, that is, these other brethren who had gone before, at Troas, where we stayed for 7 days. Evidently, the Lord Jesus, or the Apostle Paul and his followers, didn't stay all that long in the city of Troas, but they were there for at least 7 days. And then in verse 7, now on the first day of the week, that's interesting, when the disciples came together to break bread. Already we see in the early church that the first day of the week had been set apart as a time to come together to remember the Lord, to break bread, to do what the Lord had commanded the disciples to do. The disciples had come together to break bread, and Paul, who was ready to leave on the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Most of you know that story. What a preacher, and what a message that must have been that night. Continued on with that message until midnight. And you see the picture, they're gathered together in a large upper room with a lot of lamps burning. These were oil-burning lamps, so it must have been kind of a smoky place. Talk about a cigar-filled smoky room. It was probably worse than that with all of these smoky lamps. And that young man called Eutychus, who was sitting in a window, fell into a deep sleep, fell out the window, and they went down and picked him up, and Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him, in verse 10, don't trouble yourselves, for his life is in him. And they bring him back up. And then in verse 11, now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed. So that meeting went on all night long. They didn't get to the breaking of bread. They didn't get to the remembrance feast until after all of this happened. It was well past midnight when they came back up to break bread together and then talk together in fellowship even until daybreak when they went away. My point here is that the early church met on the first day of the week, the day of resurrection, a special day that they set aside to come together to remember the Lord and probably for the preaching of the Word of God as well. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We have here the teaching of the Apostle Paul on the Lord's Supper, what it means to remember the Lord, And Paul says in verse 23, chapter 11 and verse 23, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Remember that the Apostle Paul wasn't one of those 12 disciples who walked with the Lord. He wasn't one of those who was gathered at that last Passover time when the Lord instituted this meeting of remembrance for him. He wasn't there, but the Lord revealed that to him in a special way. The Apostle Paul received many things directly from the Lord that he passed on to the disciples. These things have been recorded for us in the Word of God, and so we have that instruction for us as well. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that had already been taught to the Corinthians on Paul's first visit to them. And now 1 Corinthians, it's a troubled church, a church that's full of problems, and they have problems with the way that they remember the Lord too. And the apostle writes to correct that. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And we'll stop right there for the moment. It's interesting that as we read this passage, that it's just a simple thing that the Apostle Paul is teaching to these Corinthian believers. It was probably a simple thing that he had taught to them already, but he's bringing it up once again because of the problems that they had. It's a very simple, uncomplicated memorial service remembering what the Lord Jesus did for them. And for us, it's the same thing. It's an uncomplicated meeting. It's a simple time that we meet together to remember what the Lord Jesus has done for us. Unfortunately, for the Corinthians, they had associated this remembrance time with a love feast, which they obviously were holding, an agape feast, which is not a bad thing either. It's a good thing, a common meal together, a time of fellowship together. But what was happening, it wasn't like our fellowship dinners that we have here where the ladies all bring things together and we have enough food for everyone. People were bringing their own potluck. Some of them were bringing their roast duck and whatever, and eating it with no thought to some of the poor brothers and sisters who were among them. Obviously, the assembly at Corinth was made up of people of all classes of society, some who were probably quite wealthy, others who were maybe slaves, and very poor people. And so these people would come together, and the rich people, those that had a lot, they were feasting on this without any regard to their brothers and sisters in the Lord. As we go on in the passage, let's go on reading from verse 27, where the Apostle Paul addresses the problem. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. And if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. Eating and drinking in an unworthy manner, these people were doing. I guess if we stop to think about it, all of us would have to admit that we are unworthy of any of the Lord's mercies to us. And if we dwelt upon our unworthiness without thinking of the fact that the Lord Jesus died for our sins to take them away, we would hesitate to even partake of the Lord's Supper at any time, wouldn't we? But that's not really the point of this. These people were abusing their time together as they came together. They were guilty of careless and irreverent behavior, as someone has said. Look at verse 17, going back there. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. We know that from the early parts of the letter that's addressed to the Corinthians there. There were problems of division among them. Some were saying that they were of Paul, others of Peter, and others of Apollos, and some even had the audacity to say that they were better than the others, they were of Christ. So there were divisions among them as well. That's one of the abuses of which they were guilty. Verse 19, for there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. So there you have the abuses that were being carried on in that assembly as they came together to remember the Lord. And so Paul goes on down in verse 28 to say, let a man examine himself. He's urging the Corinthians to look at what they had done wrong, what their sins were, to confess those sins, and if the restitution needed to be made, make restitution for those things as well. So I think the instruction for us there is today is when we come to remember the Lord, let's look at our own hearts, preferably before we come to the Lord's table. Are there those things in our lives which are not right when we come to the table of the Lord? Let's make them right. We need to confess sin. Sometimes restitution is needed as well. If we have wronged someone and we need to make restitution, let's make sure that that is taken care of before we come to the Lord's table as well. Sometimes we have offended a brother or a sister by what we have said, and apologies need to be made, and forgiveness asked for what we have done in that regard as well before we come to the Lord's table. But notice that the Apostle Paul says, let a man examine himself, and then don't let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. That's not what it says, is it? It says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. We're to confess our sins one to another. We're to confess our faults. We're to make restitution. We're to make things right between ourselves and our brothers and sisters. We're to make things right between us and the Lord as well as we come to the Lord's table. And then, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. I don't think there's anything more wonderful than to come to the Lord's table, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, and remember the Lord Jesus for what he has done for us. For me, it's the high point of my week. I don't think there is anything that I enjoy more than coming the first thing on the Lord's Day morning, beginning a new week in the presence of the Lord, to think about what he has done for me. And I trust that the same is true for you as well. We want to be pleasing to the Lord. I wanted to look quickly at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 as well, just to look at I don't want to go into a lot of detail here. There's a lot in chapters 12, 13, and 14 about gifts that are given to the church, gifts that are given to individual believers. And I don't want to go into a lot of detail on that, but I want to just look at the simplicity of a church service in New Testament days. You'll notice that there's no priest or minister in charge here, that the brethren in the local church there at Corinth were the ones that we're responsible for the carrying on of the service, and we seek to do that ourselves as well. Look at verse 26. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. Here you see, obviously there was confusion in the Corinthian assembly, and Paul is seeking to correct that, but he gives some correction there, which is good guidance for us, that the ministry is not limited to one brother, and there's to be order in what is done there. Whenever you come together, each one of you has a psalm. Someone has a psalm that they give out. That would, translate into the hymns that brethren give out at the meeting as well. Someone has a teaching. Obviously, at the Lord's table, we're there to remember the Lord. That's not the time for teaching. But once again, has a language, has a revelation, has an interpretation. All things are to be done for edification. It's good to see this example of what the Lord intended the meeting of the church to be. And we seek to do that particularly in the conducting of the Lord's Supper. I just quickly want to go on. I thought I wasn't going to have enough material here for the morning, but I've got far too much. So I'm just going to wind up here rather quickly and giving a reminder of some guiding principles for our remembrance meeting. The presidency of the Holy Spirit. We need to recognize that we are subject to the leading of the Holy Spirit as we gather together on the Lord's Day morning to remember Him. And we try to give that time for the Holy Spirit to lead each one of us in our worship. And in order to do that, I really think that we need to saturate ourselves in the truth of the Word of God, because the Holy Spirit today uses the Word of God in our hearts and lives. We need to be sensitive to the theme that the Spirit might be leading us in. All of us, I think, have been in meetings where we really sense the leading of the Spirit of God right through the meeting. The hymns that are given out all lead along in one theme. And the ministry that a brother will get up and give leads on a particular theme. I think that things like the Lord Jesus is the Lamb of God, as our brother sang to us this morning, the Lamb of God. That has been the theme of some of our remembrance meetings, isn't it? Other times we may follow along on the Holy Spirit may lead us along in the theme of the love of God or the grace of God, the glories of Christ, and so on. The Lord Jesus is the King of Kings. So we need to be sensitive to what the Spirit may be leading us in. And I thought, this kind of a meeting will not work. It won't work if you and I are not walking with the Lord and if we're not sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of God. It will fail eventually if we are not sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. I wanted to read a passage in Deuteronomy chapter 26. I'll let you look at that on your own and look at that passage which speaks about the Israelite who was to fill his basket with the first fruits and then take it to the place where the Lord's name was to be placed. And it speaks to me of preparation for the time of the Lord's Supper. Do we as brethren particularly, have a responsibility in leading the meetings, do we spend time alone with the Lord, seeking His leading, perhaps on a Saturday evening or early, get up early Sunday morning and just think about the Lord and what we're going to do, that we're going to remember the Lord. And fill our baskets, as it were, fill our baskets with the first fruits of our praises and our worship so that we can bring that to offer to the Lord on a Sunday morning. Whether the Lord directs us to stand and to give that out, or whether just silently we sit there and give back to Him our praises and our worship. We need to fill our baskets before we come. And let's remember, too, that this is a time of worship. It's not a testimony meeting. or it's not a hymn sing. Oftentimes, I shouldn't say oftentimes, but sometimes it does end up being a hymn sing, doesn't it? And maybe sometimes the Lord will lead in that direction, but for the most part, let's remember that it is a time of worship, and we're there to reflect on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be times of silence, and let's not be afraid of times of silence as well. I've often told my wife on occasions I probably would have made a good Quaker. You know, the Quaker meetings, they go and they just sit there and meditate, and I could do that very well. There are times of silence. Sometimes those silences are long and embarrassing, but I don't think we need to be embarrassed by them. If we truly are worshiping the Lord and we're truly waiting on Him for the leading of His Spirit, they don't have to be embarrassing to us. So these are just some thoughts that I bring before you. In closing, I would just say that one thing that we want to reflect here at Fifth Avenue Chapel is the truth of the unity of the body of Christ. Every born-again believer, everyone who has accepted the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior, is a part of the body of Christ. Been baptized into that body by the Holy Spirit at the moment of conversion. And as such, we welcome all who truly have been born again and who are walking with the Lord. We welcome them into our fellowship time at the Lord's table. And if you're here this morning and you've never had the opportunity of doing that, we would like to invite you to come sometime at 9:15 on the Lord's Day morning. Just join us, and we would enjoy having you with us as well. The Lord add His blessing to these thoughts and help us as we meditate upon them and continue to worship Him. We'll just close with a prayer and dispense with a closing hymn. Father, we thank You for Your presence with us this morning. We thank You for the commandment which You have given to us to do this in remembrance of You, Lord Jesus. Partake of the bread and of the wine, which speak to us of the Your sacrifice, Lord Jesus, for us. We were reminded this morning of the battering and the bruising which the Lord Jesus endured for us, that body which was so mistreated and for us. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for what You have done for us. We thank You for each one who has closed in with Your offer of mercy and accepted the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus as payment for their sins. And we want to be pleasing to You. We want to continue the practice that we have of coming Lord's Day by Lord's Day to remember, Lord Jesus, what You have done for us. We give You thanks and praise and worship and thanksgiving. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.